We're looking at some themes in the book of Proverbs at the moment, and today we're thinking about hard work and laziness and what the Bible has to say about that. Ruth's going to read to us, not from Proverbs, but a passage in the New Testament that speaks about that theme, and before John speaks to us from Proverbs.
2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and I'm going to begin at verse 6. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teaching you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, labouring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy. They are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. And as you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good.
They're not busy, they're busybodies. I love that phrase. If you've been here the last few weeks, or if you've been watching on a beach or something somewhere on the live stream, you'll know that we've been looking through the book of Proverbs, and we've met a few different characters along the way. Let me think. We met the simple person who just doesn't really know what they're doing in life, just sort of stumbles the way through life without having much of a clue. We've met the fool, who was more of a rebel, really. We've met the wise, we've met the adulterer, and today we meet the sluggard. The sluggard, the lazy person, who crops up a lot in the book of Proverbs, actually. There's a lot to say about the sluggard. So, the life of a sluggard. I'll get you to read some of these, but I'm going to read this one. As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. It's a great image, isn't it? Just in case you don't get it. It's like this person is physically screwed to the bed. And they're not going anywhere. All they do is sort of turn from one side to the other. That's all they do all day. I think some of these proverbs are meant to make us smile, or maybe even laugh out loud. But watch out, because when you're not expecting it, they come and slap you around the face as well. Okay, so watch out. The sluggard is exhausted. This is the same little passage, actually. There are three or four verses together that say that talk about the sluggard. A sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He's too lazy to bring it to his mouth. So just imagine someone. And these are caricatures, aren't they? Okay, so nobody is actually this lazy, okay? So you can't get offended by what I'm saying today, okay? So it's a caricature. It's meant to make us see just how ridiculous and crazy it is to be lazy, all right? So this guy, he's got his hand in the bowl of crisps. And, like, he's so lazy, he can't even... bring himself to put it into his mouth. It's like, oh, it's so much effort. And even the smallest of things have become exhausting. Even things which should be fun have actually become a massive burden. Now, okay, let me just give a little word of clarity at this point. I am not talking about someone who is sick or someone who is disabled. All right? Just need to be so clear about that, okay? That's a very different person. It's not talking about someone who is clinically depressed. Someone who's lazy may end up depressed, but it doesn't work the other way around. Okay? You need to be really clear about that. The Bible never ever mocks sick people, ever. In fact, the Old Testament and the New Testament both honour the sick and disabled as well. There's this lovely little story in the book of 2 Kings, is it 1 Kings? 2 Kings chapter 7, where these four guys with leprosy who were segregated from the rest of the city. They end up being the heroes of the story. They end up discovering this vast wealth on their own. They're the heroes of the story, and everybody else benefits from it. The Bible elevates the poor, the weak, the disabled in all kinds of ways. It certainly doesn't mock people with disabilities, but it does mock lazy people. All right, we're going to see a lot of that this morning. The life of a sluggard. The sluggard makes excuses as well. I love this. The sluggard says, there's a lion in the road. A fierce lion roaming the streets. Like, if you want to come up with a ridiculous excuse to stay in bed, like, I can't go out of the house. I'll die. That's what he's saying. I might get eaten by a lion if I go out. I have to be so careful not to ad-lib this morning. Well, maybe, okay, let me say, if you were tempted to think, reminds me of so-and-so who I live with, do not look at them. Avoid eye contact this morning. Okay. Well, that person who says, oh, I can't wash up. I've got sensitive skin. Is that the same thing? I don't know. I can't empty the bins. I might hurt my back, you know. Painfully familiar, perhaps. The sluggard is delusional as well. Again, just the very next verse. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven people who answer discreetly. So in other words, you've got seven wise people, okay, seven wise sages who are discreet and sensible in what they do. The sluggard, the lazy person, says, I'm wiser than all of them. That's just delusional, isn't it? It's a scary thing, though. This is the slap around the face. The sluggard doesn't see it. The sluggard thinks he's being cautious and sensible. Don't want to take unnecessary risks. Conserving energy. And being environmentally friendly. I'm staying at home all day. Don't burn any petrol at all going to work. There's always an excuse, though. And as far as he's concerned, they're really valid reasons. But it's all in his own head. It's all completely ridiculous. Everyone else can see that they're just lazy. That's the scary thing, I think. The sluggard is delusional. Let's move on. Proverbs 20, verse 4. Let's say this one together, shall we? Sluggards do not plough in season, so it's harvest time. They look but find nothing. Let's chew that around a little bit. Sluggards do not plough in season, so at harvest time, they look but find nothing. It's a farming picture, isn't it? I've never ploughed a field. I'm guessing it's pretty hard work, though, especially in the old days. So ploughing is hard work with no instant reward. Yeah? But if you don't plough, if you don't put the hard work in here, when it comes to harvest over here, there's nothing to show for it. So that opens it to a lot more, a lot wider application than just farming, doesn't it? So the proverb is saying, look, if you want to flourish, the general pattern is at first, you have to work hard. You have to do a lot of stuff at the beginning with very little reward. Then later on, That's when you get the harvest. Just remember, Proverbs is written by a dad to his son. Okay? Be so careful. But I see this in young people so often. Oh, they want everything now. And maybe it's common to all of us, I'm not sure. You know, I deserve X, Y, Z. I want to have the same standard of living as my parents do. Like, but they've been working for 30 years to get that. Like, you know, why do you as a 15-year-old deserve the latest iPhone that costs like a couple of grand or something? Like, when you've not earned a single penny in your life? You know, it's crazy, isn't it? You know, to expect the same as what people have been working for years and years and years and years have. You see it in business as well. You know, in the start of a business, you put huge amounts of work in, huge amounts of effort, time, money, with no customers, no one shows. And you just have to keep on ploughing away at it. And hopefully one day, your hard work pays off. You see it when you're raising a family. You know, when you have little children, man, is it hard work. Anyone who turns up late for church and you're holding a baby, you've got a free pass. No problem. We get it. It's so hard. Trying to discipline children, trying to help children to become socialised adults is incredibly draining and hard work, emotionally, physically. One day, they do become socialised, normal humans, and it's great. And it's worth it. It's worth the hard work. And when many of you have come to this as a new country for you, and life is hard, isn't it? When you start here, it's so much harder than they told you it would be. I know that's true for many of you. You've come here and you've been told all kinds of things about how great the UK is and how there's loads of jobs and how there's loads of housing. And you get here and there's housing is expensive, isn't it? And the quality is often very poor. And you have to work really, really hard. You start at the bottom rung of the career ladder. Even though back home you were up here, now you have to start down here. And it's really tough. But one day it will be easier. One day it'll be easier. You'll reap the harvest. And it's true of the Christian life as well, isn't it? Work hard now, glory later. We've been talking about heaven and glory this morning in the worship time. Romans 8 says, our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed. But hey, the glory isn't here yet. All right, that's coming. Right now is the present sufferings. Tough. Life is hard. Even Jesus said, did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter glory? It's true of Jesus, it's certainly true of us as well. So don't despise the ploughing. All right, it's a message from that one. Don't despise the ploughing. The sluggard doesn't bother, they just follow the path of least resistance. An easy life. I just want an easy life. But a few years down the road, there's little to show for it. And the sluggard tends to focus on the wrong things. Let's say this one together. Proverbs 28, verse 19. Those who work their land will have abundant food. But those who chase fantasies will have their fill of poverty. Chew these around a little bit. Those who work their land will have abundant food. Okay, that kind of makes sense. That's what we've been saying. But those who chase fantasies will have their fill of poverty. It's about people who chase fantasies instead of working hard. So I think what it's saying is, focus on the basics. Work your land. Have you ever met someone who has big plans, big ideas, ambitious goals, but they never seem to get there? They never seem to flourish. They never really achieve very much at all. To me, this proverb is saying, like, forget being a spaceman, all right? Forget being a premiership football player or a CEO. Do the washing up. Like, if you don't do the washing up, if you don't make your bed, then forget being a spaceman. You've got to do the ploughing, you've got to do the basic stuff before you start dreaming big. You know, do you make your bed in the morning? Do you tidy your room? Do you have a disciplined life? Do you read the Bible? Do you pray? Do you turn up when you're on the rotor for something? Do you reply to messages? Just really, really basic stuff. Because until the basics are right, everything else is just cloud cuckoo land. It's just a fantasy. But I know people who live in that fantasy world. And the basics are just a mess. It is wisdom for us to flourish in life. Got to start with the simple things. A strong foundation. Self-discipline. Putting the Lord first. Treating your spouse right. Being reliable and trustworthy, and being a good friend, and being generous with what you have. Don't focus on the wrong things. Here we go. Proverbs 10:26. Let's say this one together. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so are sluggards to those who send them. So are sluggards to those who send them. Why would you send someone? I think you'd send someone who's perhaps someone who works for you, or perhaps someone in your family. Those are the two scenarios I can think of. So, you know, someone who works for you, if you're a boss, a manager, or shift manager, or whatever it might be, you know, you say to someone, go and do this and that and the other. Or in your family, you pop down the shop and get some eggs or whatever it is. The sluggard is someone who never quite gets round to doing it. They're always busy doing nothing. So they say, sure, no problem, boss. At the end of the shift, still hasn't been done. Or, of course, mum, I'll go round to the shop and get some eggs. Back to the phone, you know. Always too busy. They say, if you want to get something done, ask a busy person to do it. Because busy people get things done. People with lots of time in their hands, very often, just don't get anything done. That's my experience. Correct me if you think I'm wrong. So what is that like? If you're the parent of that child, or if you're the boss of that employee, what is that like? That's what this proverb is about. It's like smoke in your eyes. Or it's like vinegar in your teeth. It's like, that's annoying. It's painful. Hear the word of the Lord, people. Or similarly, this one. I feel like I'm beating you all up today. I know most of you work really, really hard. I get that. You know, most of us are just very, very busy people, aren't we? You know, most of us are working our socks off. And I totally get that. I'm not trying to cast aspersions about the whole church or anything like that. But this is God's word. This is wisdom for us to flourish in life. We need to hear these things. We need to realise why we're working hard, don't we? It's not just because that's my identity, that's what I do. No, actually, it's good for us. We'll come back to that. We'll come back to it. So, where were we? Right, this one. Okay. The life of a sluggard, like a broken tooth or a lame foot, is reliance on the unfaithful in a time of trouble. I don't think it needs any explanation, really, does it? Like having a broken tooth, that's pretty painful, or a lame foot. That's what it's like. I often say this, friends, don't be... Let me put it the other way around. Be the best person in your factory. Be the best person on your shift. Be the most dedicated and trustworthy and kind and honest person in the place you work. Be the best employee you can be. Don't be the one who it's like having smoke in your eyes for someone else. Be there on time. Show up. Be respectful of your boss, even if they don't deserve it. We read earlier 2 Thessalonians 3. Some among you, Paul says to this church in Thessalonica, are idle and disruptive. They're not busy, they're busybodies. Made me think briefly, idle and disruptive. Like, surely an idle person, like, that only really affects them, doesn't it? No. So an idle person can be really disruptive, actually. An idle person can be disruptive by not doing the things they're supposed to be doing, and also actively causing trouble as well. There's a certain kind of person who just trouble seems to follow them wherever they go, because they've got nothing better to do, so they gossip. And there's always drama going on around them. I think because they've got nothing better to do. You know what Paul says about people like that? Keep away from them. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 6. Keep away. Keep away. The life of a sluggard is poor. Now again, I want to be really, really careful. We've got plenty of people here who are struggling financially. Does that mean you're lazy? No. No, it doesn't. Absolutely, it doesn't. But if you are lazy, you're likely to end up poor. It doesn't work the other way around, though. Does that make sense? Is that really clear? Okay. You're about to get slapped again. Sorry. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. I like that. It's beautiful phraseology, isn't it? A little sleep. Just a little slumber. Just a little folding of the hands to rest. Just a little bit. Just a little, and a little, and a little bit more. You see how one leads to the other. We've all been there, haven't we? Go on, admit it. You've been there, just like I have. When you turn the alarm off, and you have a long, leisurely breakfast... Mark remembers what that was like, pre-children. A long, leisurely breakfast and a bit of TV. And once you've done that, actually, there isn't really time to go out for the day anymore. So, yeah, I'll put a movie on and then, oh, yeah. Oh, I'm not sure I can be bothered to do the thing I was going to do today. So, actually, I feel a bit sleepy now. So I'll have a little nap, and then I'll wake up a bit later, quite a lot later, feeling a lot worse, actually. So I really don't want to do anything now. So I scroll on the phone for a while, and now I feel not only sleepy and miserable, I feel guilty as well now, which just adds to my misery. And then I feel hungry again, so it's time to eat some more food. And before you know it, the whole day's gone, isn't it? Okay, well, I've been there. Little sleep, little slumber, little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a thief, like an armed man. It'll be something unexpected, something dangerous. If you rest too much, you won't even see it coming. It's just a little sleep, just a little sleep. Oh, how nice, little sleep. But if those habits start to form and patterns emerge... One day you wake up and actually you've lost a few years. One more. The life of a sluggard is unfulfilled. Should we do this one? Let's do this one together, okay? A sluggard's appetite is never filled, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. Now, I'm so conscious that this is holiday season. And maybe you're watching this right now by a pool somewhere with people bringing drinks to you. Listen, it's okay. I'm not getting at you, I promise. Do you know Jesus took his disciples off on holiday at least once as well? It's okay to go on holiday. But if your dream of a good life is by a pool somewhere, or whatever it might be for you, maybe a god or the biggest train set you can imagine. You got me. It's nice for a while, but it's not good for us to have too much leisure. If you have too much leisure, probably you're physically not as healthy as you could be or should be. Mentally, you're probably not as healthy as you should be. Spiritually, you're probably not as healthy as you could be. Because the pursuit of leisure feels like fun, but ultimately it doesn't bring satisfaction. I think that's really, like this verse should be in our minds every time you see an advert. Sluggard's appetite is never fulfilled. Never fulfilled. It doesn't matter what it is they're trying to sell you. It will not fulfill the soul. It cannot do that. The pursuit of leisure is fun. It's enjoyable. We need to have that. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But we're also made to work. We have to do stuff as well. And that will bring satisfaction. Great satisfaction to be found in your work, in working hard. I said that's the last one. I did, didn't I? Oh, what I meant was, we're changing a little bit now. All right, so that's what the sluggard is like. It's the character of the sluggard. All right, you get the idea? So what to do? This is very famous. You might have heard this before. Should we read this one together? Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. Did you hear the slap? Did you hear it? Like, learn from ants. If they can do it, so can you. Have you ever watched ants? They're really busy creatures, aren't they? Really interesting. I found out this week, harvester ants, which are the ones they have in this part of the world, they do have a queen in the nest, but the queen doesn't tell them what to do. They just swap pheromones with each other, and they sort of, as a community, they just work together. They just get on with it. I wonder if you only work hard when you have no choice. Where mum says you have to, or your boss demands it. Learn from the ant, Solomon says. Highly motivated, self-sustaining community. They work hard. They store. They make plans somehow in the tiny little ant brain with 10 neurons or whatever.